Did you get your fill of capes and scowls? Good. Now make sure you head on over to our good friends at superliminalfilms.com. Superliminalfilms.com, a member of the Capes and Scowls podcast family.
There was a firefight!
Killed innocent people.
The means to an end.
You started a massacre.
I caused the revolution.
You betrayed the law.
Roar!
I see you are practiced in worshipping things that fly.
Hulkamania is running wild like it's never ran before.
It's over 9,000!
What?
Rise before Zod.
Bitches leave.
Kneel before Zod.
Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh?
Remember, there's always madness. Woohoo! Madness is the emergency exit.
Here it comes! A little going away present for you!
Welcome to Capes and Scowls Podcast. I'm Lou. I'm here with Tim. Say hello, Tim.
Hello, Tim.
And Leander. Say hello, Tim.
Hello, Tim.
Hi.
Hi.
Now that we all know each other, Tim, say something.
Well, welcome to Capes and Scowls, episode number 8. How is everybody?
I am wonderful. Thank you, Tim.
So formal, this podcast. Lou, how the fuck are you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, Tim.
Good.
You know, could be worse.
All right.
That's it. I could think of a couple examples. But it's going to take a little while, so just say what you were going to say, and then we'll get back to it.
We're not allowed to take time off. This is stiff.
That's what she said.
Oh! So, once again, capesandscowlspodcast@gmail.com. We're on iTunes. We have a Facebook. We're dangerously close to milestones on our Facebook, so please go to the Facebook and be like, hey, I kind of don't hate you guys that much. Like... That would be that'd be fantastic. And then, of course, our website, capesandscowlspodcast.com.
That's great. You should definitely go to Facebook and like us.
Mm-hmm. Get all the news that doesn't make it on the podcast.
Yes. That's a very good point. As a public service announcement, Lou has already informed me I'm not allowed to laugh during this podcast or make any noise, so I will not be laughing or making any noises so that you can have a wonderful car experience.
Oh, he's bitter
today
about it, because we were discussing the levels, and I just told Leander not to slam the table every time he makes a joke.
I will not do such a thing, sir.
And now he's mad at me.
He's very mad.
So we're going to have a whole podcast where Leander gives me the cold shoulder. And, therefore, gives you people a cold shoulder. It's really the audience that suffers when you're petty like this, you know? When mom and dad are fighting, it's the kids,
it's the kids that are hurt.
So,
it's unfortunate. It's very unfortunate. They should seek help.
If you would like Leander to get the fuck over it, send an email to capesandscowlspodcast@gmail.com with the subject heading line, it's gonna be okay, Leander. And then, you know, just give them something to make them feel better, like,
come on, man, do it. Do
pictures.
It.
Pictures.
Do it.
Hey.
That was not me, by the way. I would not act in such a way.
That also is not a pothole you hit. You did not run over small children. It's fine.
Very well. I will do my best.
This is horrible. All right. This is awful. This is terrible, Leander. Start hitting shit.
Stop. You just did it.
I can't help it.
We talked about not hitting the table during the podcast.
And I'm the only one not hitting the table currently.
I knew I couldn't just say something like that. And everyone would just be like, yeah, good idea. It really fucks with the levels when everyone hits the table. No, I knew it was gonna just creep its way into the episode. And the first 40 minutes, we're going to fucking talk about what can hit the table. And we're going to make a joke about it. And everyone's going to do it. And I just shouldn't have fucking said anything.
You should have. I think that the viewers are going to have the listeners are going to have a better experience now. I think this is great. Don't we have news to talk about? I think we have news to talk about now, right?
Who are you?
Well, he's wearing a tie, so it,
yeah,
and it makes sense that he wants to get to the news. He's all
sure
business today.
This is true. I mean,
he does have a sharp blue shirt on. I do.
It is sharp.
I appreciate it, gentlemen.
I like the shade.
It. Thank you very much. Compliments my eye color.
I feel like that's not true.
Well, anyway.
All right, I guess we'll talk about some news. So the first bit of news, this isn't really news, this is just kind of fun. Has anybody seen on YouTube the bonus feature from the Guardians of the Galaxy Blu-ray where Star-Lord challenges Ronan to a dance-off? It's a deleted scene where Ronan accepts said dance-off and everybody dances the fuck off.
Nice. I didn't click on it.
It's pretty funny.
In the movie, I was so glad when they didn't actually have a dance-off.
Me too.
Because I was like, no. But yeah. I'm glad that they were like, okay, we're at least going to film it and see what happens. So that's kind of cool.
It was definitely, it definitely wasn't like a planned thing. Like, it looks like it was just the guy playing Ronan was like, oh yeah, I'm going to fucking totally do this. And then Gamora starts dancing and Drax starts dancing and then you see the crew in the background dancing.
Nice.
So it was like just them fucking around. It was pretty funny.
That's
pretty
awesome. Cool.
So yeah. I highly recommend that everybody checks that out if you don't plan on buying the Blu-ray of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Hmm.
Which you should. It's a good fucking movie. Or just download it or whatever you do. So that is my first bit of news. This is so right. Stiff. This is really stiff.
This is not stiff at all.
Super stiff.
Sir, I think this is wonderful.
All right.
Please continue.
Fake it till you make it, man.
That is what she said. So, for the movie Interstellar, as a supplement to it, Christopher Nolan wrote a 7-page comic for Wired magazine. It is going to appear in their December issue, which will feature art from Eisner winner Sean Murphy, who did The Wake. He literally just won that months ago.
Hmm.
It's pretty sweet looking. He's going to also be doing, Sean, he's also going to be doing Chrononauts with Mark Millar, which will probably instantly get optioned as a movie. So that'll be for Image, and that'll happen around March 2015. 4-issue mini described by Mark Millar as Apollo 13 meets the Time Machine. What the fuck does that even mean?
That's weird.
Chrononauts. It's like Micronauts, but bigger.
Mark Millar needs to put out a Jupiter's Legacy, because I'm really at my wit's end here, waiting for that book to come out. I don't know what he's doing, writing some Chrononauts or whatever. Just finish what you're already working on.
He likes to give you, like, 2 or 3 really amazing issues of all these stories and then just...
But he finished the other stuff, like that other crap he was doing, like, you know...
That MPH was on time, relatively on time.
And what's before that? The Kingsman?
Kingsman.
Now, yeah. That was a movie.
That was a movie.
That it came and went, didn't it?
Yeah. It was originally called Silent Service. Okay. Was the name of the book.
Was the book, okay.
And then they renamed it Kingsman because, oh, we got a movie. Because that's all he fucking does is write to get a movie.
Mm.
So, I don't know.
Hmm.
It's all Kick-Ass's fault.
That Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
I liked it when he worked for Marvel and wrote good Marvel stories.
What did he write for Marvel?
Civil War.
Oh, look at that.
Like, the biggest one for the past mm-hmm. couple of years. Mm-hmm. And he did the Ultimates, the first run on the Ultimates. Mm-hmm. And he did a lot. Actually, Old Man Logan. Like, there's a ton. Yeah. He did, like, a lot.
Holy crap.
He had a good run on Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Just everything. And now he's like, I can create as many properties as I want, and they'll all get optioned, and I'll get money. Yay.
He's kind of like a reverse Hickman. I feel like Hickman's mm-hmm. best stuff is the indie and the solo stuff. And when he writes for Marvel, I still enjoy it, but not as much. And Millar can, I guess, kind of be the opposite. Like, right. His like mainstream stuff was just like out of the park, and I like the smaller stuff too, but it's hard if he doesn't finish it,
right?
You know,
that's what I've heard.
Marvel not gonna let you get away with that shit. You finish the goddamn book.
Yeah. Get a contract.
Absolutely. I enjoyed Nemesis, but there was never any sequel. There was supposed to be a sequel.
Hmm.
There never was. There never will be. That's fine. We'll get 3 volumes of Kick-Ass over the course of 10 years. But
I think, is he done with Kick-Ass? Is Kick-Ass finished?
I don't know for sure. I didn't read Kick-Ass 3. I did look at the last couple panels to be like, is he dead? Is it over? Is it done? Is it finally done? Because I don't care about Kick-Ass enough to keep reading that. I liked the first one, and the second one was bleh,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't care at all about the third. The way it ends, spoiler alert, Hit Girl finds a new kid to train as Kick-Ass.
Mm-hmm.
So it could go on for fucking ever. You right. need to take out the girl.
Yeah, Hit Girl's pretty much the most important person.
Yep. So, there's that. This is kind of interesting. Marvel is looking to enlist Korean webcomic hero into United States comics. This is a little weird of a story. I don't know if they're just trying to do more foreign comics overseas to try to boost Marvel's profile over there, because there's a lot of like anime versions of Marvel that have come out and things like that that I don't particularly think are very good, but they're out there.
Yeah.
Have you seen any of them?
I've seen cartoons, the anime cartoons.
Right.
And I really enjoy those, actually.
Those were good?
Yeah. They pop more than the American versions of things, so. But no, I haven't read any, like, comics that were, like, manga style for X-Men and stuff like that, no.
Okay. Well, no, go ahead.
No, even though there is that Jubilee bus that's, like, Japan animation.
Oh, right. They do those for both Marvel and DC.
Right.
I think those are awesome.
Yeah, those
usually are
cool. So.
Sometimes they're slutty just to be slutty, and I'm like, that ruins it. But when they're like actually just kind of like stylized, it's like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, American super heroines are so sexualized to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe except for Jubilee.
Right. Acceptably so, since she's like 12, so.
She's eternally 12
she's
now,
in
right?
her teens. But I love art, though, that's based... Like, I love Japanese animation and
I do
art
too.
Associated with that. So, like, at the recent con, when I picked up those two different... art pieces with White Queen and with Harley Quinn, I felt that was more like... It wasn't Japanese animation, but it was closer to that than anything else. I like that style. It's very clean. It's... has like a liquid feel to it that's just very like fluid. I don't know. I like it a lot.
I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you don't see that too much in American comics as much, unfortunately.
And we'll go back at the end of the news and talk about the Allentown con we went to.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing with this story is apparently this character, which is called White Fox, it's a female character, is so insanely popular in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it was a webcomic. I don't know if Marvel optioned it or Marvel had their hands in it to begin with. Like, it was so hard for me to dig up the correct answers on this.
Mm.
So take it for what it is. But apparently they're like, she's part of the Avengers in this Korean version because she's that popular.
Wow.
And she's based off, created by Young Hoon Ko.
Well
I think
played.
I did that right.
Well played, sir.
And based on Korean mythology about a nine-tailed fox. Where have we heard that before?
Never.
And
the game Jade Empire.
Or Naruto.
Yeah, Naruto more recently.
I think it's a magic card also.
It's part of mythology. This character looks so much cooler than Naruto. And it just seems kind of cool. So if it's a webcomic and you guys want to check it out, you're into webcomics as well as regular comics, this might be something worth checking out. Maybe she'll end up in the American versions of these books. I don't know exactly what the plan is. It kind of looks like it could happen, but...
Right. There's no reason why it shouldn't be able to. I mean, we have Sunfire as an Avenger, and he's Asian. So there's no reason why...
I don't think the problem was they're Asian. Let's just be clear.
Darn it, you made me laugh. Stop it.
The
problem was Marvel didn't own it already, right?
That's what it sounded like. I don't know. I just don't know. The story was so weird how it was written.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, well, this is a big deal in Korea, so props to you, Korea. Good looking.
I mean, like, I guess the reason I say that is, like, Justice League. It's a big deal every time they go to a new country. It's a huge deal because all the heroes are American. So whenever they go to, like... Oh, it has to be Justice League Canada, because we can't have Canadians in the American Justice League. Oh, it's Justice League Europe. Oh, it's just... Why? Why all the countries just be Justice League?
Yeah, it's not like the Justice League can't, like, get to Canada, like,
right,
real quick.
But it's a big deal when you have a character that's not from America.
I think they should just have different names of different teams from different places. Like, DC, when they did 52... They had the Great Ten, where I think they were supposed to be Japanese, I can't remember off the top of my head, but an Asian country, and they were their heroes, and they had really dumb names. I'm not going to lie, their names were dumb, but it was like, but they were like the version of the Justice League, and they were fighting Black Adam when he kind of lost his shit, and they were still prominent, not a big deal, but they were still used beyond that series. So I think they should just, you don't need Justice League every fucking country, just...
Right.
Develop teams that, you know, police the globe.
That's why I say about the Avengers, though. They are like, they were like that in the beginning. Mm-hmm. It was just Americans on the Avengers team. You know, you don't have non-Americans on the Avengers team. Whereas, like, X-Men, you have Excalibur, and there was no issue. Like, there's no, like, oh, that's just the X-Men for you. Like, yeah, it kind of was, but it was still just called Excalibur, you know? It was still an X
Alpha,
team.
Alpha Flight.
Yep. Alpha Flight, yeah, that was Canadian. Mm-hmm.
There was West Coast Avengers, so it was kind of like, we American. Have these guys over here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
Yeah.
I think the intentions were good.
Right.
Whether or not it worked out ideally.
Right, right. You know? But I feel like it is more integrated now. Like, I feel like you do have multi-international characters on the Avengers and other places. So it's not so weird if Silver Fox joined the Avengers now. Because, like, oh, yeah, sure, we go to Asia sometimes, too. We're not just American heroes.
White Fox, Silver Fox is a Spider-Man villain.
That's right.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to be clear. So, yeah, maybe that's something cool. Everybody go check it out if you think nine-tailed foxes are your thing.
Yes.
Civil War, the movie, Captain America 3, has added their villain, Daniel Brühl, who was in Inglourious Bastards.
As who?
I forget his character's name.
What?
Google it, people. It's been a while since I've seen that movie anyways. I saw it in the theater, and that's probably it. So. Like I said, he was in Inglourious Bastards, and he's rumored to be many, many things. But he is clearly the villain. And the reason that was important was everybody's like, it's going to be Stark versus Cap. It has to be, right? But no, it really doesn't have to be. And there's a bunch of rumors as to who he would be and what would be happening in the movie. There's a couple things we do know. Chadwick Boseman, who plays the Black Panther, debuts in that movie. That's one thing.
Okay.
This guy's going to be the main villain, so Tony Stark is not, like, the main villain, although they could clash at some point. So Daniel Brühl ends up being, a lot of people are like, he's probably Nitro. He's probably the guy who causes the big explosion that starts the whole
thing. That's weird. Maybe.
Is it weird? Like, it is. You kind of need Nitro.
Yeah, you need the catalyst.
You need something. It might as well just be Nitro. Why mess with it?
I mean, but it could be really any explosion that kills innocent people.
Right.
It can.
Exactly. It could be the Hulk.
It could be the Hulk. And then you can take the Hulk out of the equation, Planet Hulk. You could do all that stuff if you wanted to.
Yeah.
What would you guys prefer, though? Would you want it to be... Like, I'll start. I prefer it to be canon to the book as far as this part. I want it to be Nitro. I want it to be like, we're the new warriors. We're going to stop you. Oh, we made this giant clusterfuck.
But
I definitely don't want that.
No?
At all. Nope.
See, I don't know. I think the reason why it worked so well in the book is because you knew that no one gave a shit about the new warriors. It was like basically a kid's book. And that's why it was kind of so cool, because like they were just known nobodies. So right now they're not in the universe. So it's going to be Cap 3. So where are you going to make a name for these guys so that you, expecting anything ever like that to ever come from like a team so shitty and small, and then bam, it changes the whole
world. Not to mention that some of those guys are mutants, right? So that doesn't even exist really, except for these miracles.
Right.
It doesn't even make sense.
Plus, Namor's cousin is Namorita?
Yeah.
If they're going to throw her. There's a lot of questionable things about it, but they're not going to follow 100% continuity. That's just not possible.
Mm-hmm.
But what they could do is make mention, because if a lot of people might not remember, the New Warriors had a miniseries right before Civil War that was the setup for Civil War. It was like a 5 or 6 issue miniseries, and it was just them fighting. But the thing about it was they had a reality show.
Did a show, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody was, the whole world, even if it was a shitty show, knew who they were, you know? They'd be in the dirt magazines and all that shit. It's like their name's enough to everyone in America. So it's like when they cause that explosion, it's a big fucking outrage. So they could do things in Avengers. They could have them on the TV in the background. They could make little hints to it. I mean, Inhumans isn't happening for a while, and kind of spoiler alert, they're already starting to place that in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So, and I don't want to go into details for that, because I feel like that just happened. And people probably want to catch up on that. But they are planting the seeds of Inhumans already.
See, I think it needs to be someone that just, like, the people in the world but also the audience is really familiar with, and it has to be a hero. I think that's, did you say Hulk?
Yeah.
I think that just makes perfect sense because it's like, Hulk's always like the unstable guy. Everyone knows he's in the movie world. Everyone knows he's part of an Avengers, but all the audience knows who Hulk is. You don't have to explain who that is. But if he did something like really bad that pitted heroes against each other, I think that would make a lot of sense because he's always kind of been the wild card.
Right. And all it takes is one mind control situation and we got our situation. You know,
mind
control Hulk. Hulk goes crazy, smashes entire buildings with people in it and kids. Everyone dies and, oh, well, now what do? We have these crazy Hulked out, you know, heroes, quote unquote, that are unstable. We got to turn against them, except for Captain America because everyone's Captain America. But still, you know, then it gets into Widow and she's an assassin or she's a spy.
See?
What is she?
I think he just called it.
I think Widow's a good pick, actually.
But what would she... But she wouldn't, like, explode something.
Yeah.
She wouldn't explode a school, because, like, when would she do that?
She's...
Like, the Hulk
point.
Would smash a school if, like, he got mind control, like you said, or, like, just he was going crazy and, like, the bad guys in that school, like, Hulk not care, Hulk smash school.
Right, exactly.
And then they're like, holy shit, he smashed a school. But the Black Widow wouldn't be, like, so careless as to be like, the bad guys in there... Give me the rocket launcher.
Well, no, not like that.
But, like, then what could she do? That would be so...
She could not stop a rocket launcher from hitting a school. Something like that.
No, they have to cause it.
Yeah, it has to be Hulk. Hulk is our... Or Thor. Thor is another great option as well, because Thor could obviously also be a little wild and accidental. He plays around with lightning.
It takes one person to get smashed into a school, really.
Right.
You know.
That's it. Or Hulk picks up, like he always picks up a school bus and throws it.
Yeah.
Oh, there's
kids. Oh, there were
in
kids
there.
That time, like your puzzle.
Oh.
Just like my puzzle. Thank you. Callback.
So, yeah, it would be weird if New Warriors. I'm going to say I don't like the idea of New Warriors, but that's me. That's my personal.
Just
opinion.
Doesn't feel like there's time.
Yeah,
it's like if time. They had always been in the movies somewhere or one of the characters was. But that does make me wonder who the villain is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because the villain obviously is probably not the guy who causes the thing to happen. Unless it is, like...
Possibly, but possibly not. Yeah.
But, like, who would it be?
Who
would it be?
Who could mind control Hulk? That would be a perfect...
Already... See, they haven't announced that Crossbones will be in it, but Crossbones was basically that one guy in the second movie.
But he's not, like, smart, right? Like, he wouldn't, like, plan it out.
No. But he could be part... He's always a henchman. He's, like, the ultimate henchman. I think it's going to be this big Hydra setup thing, because they're playing Hydra up in S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything else. There's a couple things. Like, another thing to think about, you never, even in, like, Iron Man 3 was after Avengers and Cap, you never saw the people's reaction to the Avengers.
Right.
You don't know if everybody's, like, on Good Morning America, like, fuck them Avengers, they're out of control, they destroyed this city, yeah, they saved us from aliens, but, like, you don't know. They've never addressed
that.
True. So that could be a big
part. But, I mean,
part.
At the end of Avengers, everyone seems pretty happy with them. I mean,
yeah,
they're all wearing
aliens.
The shirts. And...
Only because they saved them, but how do they not know, like, oh, Avengers probably brought the alien invasion to begin with. Like, they don't know. They just know aliens came down and a bunch of people fought them off, but...
Plus, Avengers are loosely tied to S.H.I.E.L.D. I feel like people may know that.
Do people know S.H.I.E.L.D.? I don't think people know S.H.I.E.L.D.
People know S.H.I.E.L.D.
How
after
know
Cap
S.H.I.E.L.D.?
2, everyone knows S.H.I.E.L.D. All their files went on the internet.
Mm.
Everything they've ever done.
Okay.
So
that's
people
right.
will know Avengers are tied to S.H.I.E.L.D. The Avengers don't know that Coulson's alive. There's so many things.
Yeah, but even if everyone knows that they're tied to S.H.I.E.L.D., does anyone know about S.H.I.E.L.D.? Isn't the whole point is that no one knows about S.H.I.E.L.D.? So,
but
yeah,
they
got
blown
they
up. They blew up their spot at the end of the movie.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything because no one knew there was this giant helicarrier in the sky.
Well, they know now.
Now they know.
I think we need to assume that they know now.
So, are they pissed about that? Like, what?
Sure, probably.
People can be pissed about a lot of things right now.
So maybe it's just bad vibes all around and then somebody does a dumb mistake on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we will see. Yeah. All the people in Inglourious Basterds were pretty good actors, so I'm excited.
Yeah.
Good.
Some of the better rumors and the rumor mill going around as to what the plot will be for Civil War will probably, a lot of people are thinking they're going to kill off Cap at the end and have the Winter Soldier become Cap. Because the guy playing the Winter Soldier has like 75 movie deals in the Marvel Universe. So that's one thing.
It's pretty extreme.
Yeah, no, it would be. But, you know, if Tony and Cap are fighting, maybe they... Somebody takes him out. Crossbones, like I said.
I just can't wait. I just want to see it now.
I'm sorry.
Just skip this now so I don't keep thinking about it.
Play the movie. Make the movie.
I don't keep thinking about it.
Play it.
All right. Well.
We could speculate forever. Yeah, like, we really could. do another two hours. Well, what if?
And we're not.
Well, the Watcher shows up. And no.
Yeah, they need to put him in there.
That would be cool if they just threw him in and he doesn't have to do anything. He's
explain it. Everyone knows.
He's like faded out on a cloud somewhere. Yeah. And there's like a little rainbow above him. two more stories. This one's a fairly quick one, I think. There is a book, a hardcover book, coming out from IDW, February of 2015, called The Untold History of Black Comic Books. And it is a pretty cool book, actually. It's written by a historian, Professor William H. Foster III, and another gentleman named Craig Yeo, and he pretty much created it because he would talk comics with people and nobody really knew the history of black comics. So he's like, well, I'll just make a damn awesome coffee table book and everybody can reference it. Because there's a lot of key points about black characters in comics, and like I've said on the podcast 1,000 times, all the black characters, the other ethnicities, are always written by old, grumpy white men. So, for the most part, and women. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they were never represented correctly. This book is about the early appearances of certain black books, and they are all over the place.
Mm.
Including Fast Willie Jackson, all Negro comics, Negro romance, and Barack Obama. So, it covers everything.
Does he have his own comic book?
He did have a comic book. I swear to God.
And he's appeared in.
And he appeared in.
Spider-Man. Yeah, I knew he was in the Spider-Man. I didn't know like he had like a. Was it a limited series or?
It was probably a one issues. Shot or something.
An 8-year limited run.
8-year limited run, once per term. So I just thought that was a cool thing to throw in there. That there's this cool coffee table book, and it's like. It's weird, like, I like looking at the covers on the cover, like, the Negro romance, it's like, this is so racist. This is so horrible and weird.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's so bad. It was like, I'm like, I think this is more offensive to women, this cover, than black people as a whole, but okay.
That's awesome.
And our last story is tomorrow, as of this recording, Super Smash Brothers comes out for the Wii U. Everybody loves Smash Brothers, so
yeah, Smash Brothers is great.
I think it's worth mentioning because the Wii U will finally start making money.
Yes.
They have all their properties coming out. They have a fucking new Zelda game. They got a new fucking everything.
Yeah, Wii U was like the just like slipped under the radar. Like it just came out before Xbox One and it came out before PS4 and like no one really, it just didn't seem to make that much of a splash. No. People were like, is it out yet? Because they released it without any games.
Right.
Like, you should just launch with Super Smash Brothers. Yes. Why wouldn't you do that?
Yep.
Like, if Mario Kart and Smash Brothers are not, like, in the box with the fucking console, then, like, you're not going to get it yet.
They would have made a killing before those other two consoles if they had just thrown in. They can have Mario. Throw Mario Kart and Smash Brothers all in there.
They
just
would.
Do done.
It. They would make tons of money. Yeah. Yep.
It's like, oh, well, should I buy this game? Well, fuck it. I already got the Wii U. Why bother?
Exactly.
I think they would have got a lot of sales that way.
I agree.
Yeah, there's so many things I like about Nintendo, man. Like, they just... The Wii U, there's like 4 different controllers you can use for it. Mm-hmm. Like, the one... And my brother just bought it the other week, so I got a chance
Smash Brothers
to play
is coming out.
Yeah.
The normal, like, the Wii U controller is a fucking obnoxious... Game Gear looking piece of shit with like its own TV on it and like I just don't ever want to use that.
Right. No.
There's aspects where you can use it as a touchscreen or whatever, but they're like, look, they know this isn't for everyone. So you can use Wiimotes with it, you can use GameCube controllers for it, you can use the Wii Classic controller for it also. Mm-hmm. So you know, they know that however you like to play Nintendo games, because let's be honest, they're just the same games over and over and over again with new stuff. And I'm like, however you grew up playing, you can still do that.
Yep. Yeah.
So like, I always use a GameCube controller for Smash Brothers because
I think a lot of people will.
That's the way you do it. And they're making new ones because you couldn't even get new GameCube controllers.
Right.
So that right there.
Yeah, they come with like a different USB connector or something with them. So
yeah, you need a connector, but you can just. You can plug the old ones in, or you can actually get new ones now, which is
pretty, cool.
Pretty great, because they were going to start drying up, and no one wants to go on eBay and pay $40 for,
right.
You know, a GameCube controller from, you know, 02.
Right. Thank God I still have mine.
Yeah.
My son has the Wii U, and it is a pretty cool system, but I definitely see where people would have been like, I don't want to wait a year for this other shit.
Yeah.
You know? Have you seen the characters?
I know there's Pac-Man, I know there's Rosalina, who else? The kid from, there's a game where you walk around and dig. What's that stupid game? Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing. I was like, dig dug?
That's what you that do, right? You dig and shake trees, yes. And then that is the dumbest game.
There's my favorite character, and I haven't even played it yet. My son has it on the DS. He's gonna, I'm sure, get it for Christmas for the Wii U.
You mean you're gonna get it for the Wii U?
I actually don't play his game system that much, actually. I let him just fucking sit on it and play it all day. But Little Mac from Punch-Out is in it. I think that's the greatest fucking thing ever.
That's pretty cool. Haven't seen him in a while.
They just added, there's a bunch of characters that they added. Duck Hunt is a character.
Like, what do
the
you mean?
The fucking dog.
The dog.
And the duck.
The duck.
Yes.
As a combo?
Yes. Yes. That's a thing.
I can't even deal with it.
And while I haven't played it, I have seen the screenshots. It looks fucking hilarious. Yeah. Like, the duck will pick up the dog by, like, its ass and fly around with him and shit. It looks hilarious.
All
right. Dr. Mario.
Oh, he's back. That's good.
Nice. I like Dr. Mario.
Captain Falcon. Falco. Ganondorf from, like, the Ocarina and all that. Ness. There's a slew.
The classics.
A slew
the classics,
of them. But they're not, like, initially in the game. I think you have to get them.
Sure.
Or earn them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's going to be so many more downloadable.
Thing I don't like... Yeah, the thing is, okay, it's having download content is awesome, but, like, my brother got Mario Kart, and it's like, they throw up advertisements for shit.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, buy this. It's like, you already have... I think that's what's happening is some people are... There's kind of a backlash against if you release an incomplete game...
Right.
And then you just spam ads while you're trying to play. That's, like, not cool, man.
Not.
Like, I want to either...
Have it all.
Take another step and then go download extra stuff if I want it. Or I want to be able to get everything...
Right.
Pay for it. Just pay for it.
Through the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, don't call it an Ultimate Edition 6 months later.
Right.
Oh. It's not the Ultimate Edition. It's the fucking game I wanted in the first place.
Marvel vs. Capcom 3 Ultimate Edition, I was going to punch them in the face for doing that.
They
so
did
mad,
it with Injustice as well.
I was
well.
So mad. So mad.
I'm like, wait, and I did the season pass, that's a thing now, and it's like, great, I'm going to get Scorpion from Mortal Kombat. Whoopity-doo, he has so much to do with DC Comics. Thanks, assholes.
Yeah.
And then later they released better characters like Zatanna that I would have wanted. And I'm
mm-hmm.
like, you fuckers.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, I guess. I got Batgirl. I'm awesome with her.
See, the problem is, the thing is, it's,
awesome.
It's going to work.
Awesome.
It's going to work.
It is going to work.
It's like you're going to keep paying for the same, for stuff for the same game. Like, there won't be a Mario Kart 9 for Wii, because they'll just be like, oh, 10 new cars, 5 new tracks, buy it. And then every couple months,
mm-hmm.
10 new cars,
how much money did they make when they added Link? They must have made a fucking killing. Fucking killing. Yeah. Well, that is it for my news stories. Do you guys want to...
Well, I'm not happy about that. I would say, just before we...
That's fair.
I'm not happy about that, in case you couldn't tell. I don't even have time to play video games. But if I do, I want the whole game, goddammit.
Agreed.
Back in my day.
Back in my day, you couldn't even beat these fucking games. They were so hard, and the machine might just glitch out and not work at all.
That's right.
I don't know why that was my voice, but it was. My games were so fucking hard, and they were terrible, and you would pay $60 for them, and they wouldn't fucking work.
I wonder if, like, my complaints are, like, how people felt about Game Genie when that came out. They were like,
oh,
if I
Game
want,
Genie.
They should have infinite moon jumps in part of the game. Why can't I just put in the Konami code and do infinite lives? Why do I need to buy something else? That would be hilarious.
Yeah.
Because
they need a new Game Genie.
Maybe. Game Genie's for the fucking people who didn't have the patience to beat Contra the correct way.
Yes, that's really all it's for.
I did it once. It was hard. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
To beat it with the regular amount of lives.
Yeah.
But by that point, you've tried so many times, you've mapped out the whole fucking game.
Yeah,
back
I could never beat hard games before emulators came out. I think the only games that I ever beat before emulators were, like, The Little Mermaid.
All right.
The end. I beat, and, like, Zelda. That's it. I was bad. I was bad at games.
Yeah.
I didn't beat it, but I got to the last level of Battletoads. That was like, that's like a fucking achievement. It's like, I made it to that bitch on the television and she kicked my ass.
All right, let's, what's the hardest game you've ever played? Classic game.
Hardest classic game? Goodness. Holy shit.
So like pre-N64 generation.
The Tick game on the Super Nintendo was pretty fucking hard. And I don't know that it ends.
It might not. That's a thing.
That, exactly. That one just comes to mind. I'm sure there's harder ones, but that one jumps to mind. That game was fucking... It was so good. It followed the comics and the cartoon, but then at the same time, I'm like, it won't fucking end. There's no point. Mm-hmm. What am I fighting?
Mm-hmm.
Did I beat... I already beat Chairface. How many times do I got to beat Chairface? 5 more times. Oh, he's riding on the moon again, motherfuckers!
Freaking Chairface.
Fucking Chairface Chippendale.
Yeah, I never beat the, until recently, through emulator, the X-Men arcade game. I couldn't beat that game to save my life.
Well, you just put more quarters in.
And,
well, the arcade game.
Oh, yeah, just... Well, they were designed to eat your quarters.
Yeah, sorry.
Every once in a while, you would find a place with a machine that was, like, set wrong, and you'd get, like, 8 lives for a quarter, and then, like, you had a rail shot.
Yeah. But even then. The Simpsons game, all those arcade games. The Turtles, which is, like, the greatest game ever.
Yeah.
But it was designed to kill
you. The NES game was really hard. I just remember... I
still never beat
it. I just remember Donatello, and I had to jump and hit up so I can kill the people above me by using his stick. So that's all I remember.
I might have made it.
And Michelangelo was the worst, because
he was.
I actually...
He had no freaking...
See, I got all that shit on my phone now. So,
really?
Yeah, so I would try to play that Turtles game, and it's still hard. I'm like at the water stage, and then I just get
the water stage is such a pain in the dick.
It is.
It's the worst.
But then it never gets easier. It just keeps getting harder.
It keeps getting harder.
Oh, Ghosts and Goblins is hard.
But the hardest game I ever played, and this was with an emulator, with save state, was Abadox. Which was just like, it's like a shoot, like a top-down shooting game where you're a ship and you go beep, 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 beep. And just shoot upwards and you're moving through like the guts of some huge space beast. And
vertical shooter.
Impossible.
Yeah.
I think I know which one that is.
If anyone's ever known anyone who's beat that, please email
us. With or without an
emulator? capesandscales@gmail.com. Because I want to meet you. I want to fly out to your house and shake your hand.
He will do it, people. You better send.
You don't even have to beat it for me. I'll just believe you because no one would claim to do that unless they'd like it was like the pinnacle turning point of their life.
Like, all right, finally, the recognition I've been waiting for all these years.
That's great.
I was gonna blow my head off, but now I listen to this podcast.
Reason, worth it.
Reason to keep going.
I think we gotta warn all the comic fans that we do a 30-minute monologue about.
Do we
about video games?
Do we
surprise?
They'll be all
right. Let's talk about some of our reviews.
Okay.
I actually have 2 books I want to review. I just couldn't find them. They're in a stack somewhere at home.
Well, this is awkward.
So are you going to do it from
memory?
I'm going to
do it from memory.
All right.
That's fine. I believe in them.
Thank you.
Do you want to start then?
While
it's fresh in your mind?
Well, one of them is going to be quick because I don't want to give away a lot of it. But the other one, I will talk more.
Okay.
The first one is the newest issue of Invincible. Issue 115, which features Battle Beast on the cover, and the entire issue is a fight. It's just a fucking fight. It is so violent and so graphic and so beautiful and amazing. It is everything you ever wanted a Marvel character to do in a fight. It's like, god damn it. Like, Kirkman and Ryan Ottley, the artist, they always say the one thing you're not allowed to do at Marvel, and DC is the same way, is show exit wounds. You can't have somebody punch through somebody else, but you know they can do it. So in Invincible and things like that, like, if he wants to fucking punch your fucking head off, your head's going flying. So this fight with Battle Beast and the leader of the Viltrumites is so violent and graphic and just, you feel like you're just turning pages and you're just like, oh my god, is this, who's, someone's gonna die, this is horrible. And it's just like so incredibly awesome, the violence. So definitely check it out.
It's strange you mention it. Original Sin, I thought, had some pretty, for a mainstream Marvel, like, had some pretty graphic stuff. I mean, like, they showed the Watcher there with his eyes out, bleeding everywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's a different type of thing.
I mean, that's kind of a plot device in a way, though.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Well, and you had that issue, you said, of Guardians of the Galaxy, right? Where Thanos punched right through Star-Lord.
Right, but that was kind of a gimmick at the same time. It's like, he'll be back. That was part of the storyline. Like, he can't die. He's just going to keep popping back up. So in that, and it wasn't anywhere, like, I'm talking gruesome. Blood everywhere, your innards falling out. Like, yeah, gruesome.
Okay.
So, not that I say violence is the greatest thing in the world. It's just, if somebody's going to throw down to this level, there should be violence, there should be innards, there should be teeth flying.
Mm-hmm.
You get all of that in this book.
Okay. Nice. What book is this?
Invincible.
Okay.
The greatest superhero book ever. The only one you'll ever need.
Are we going round robin? Is that how this works?
If you'd like.
Okay, sure. Dash, number one.
Dash.
From Dave Ebersole.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the books I picked up when we were at NijiCon that we haven't talked about. I was surprised at actually how much I like this book. It's about a detective from an earlier time period that I don't know. I don't remember exactly what time 30s, period. 30s, maybe? 30s, sure. Let's go with 30s. He's a gay detective, and everyone knows he is because he gets caught in a scandal, basically. And I remember, because we interviewed Dave Ebersole, you go back to one of our previous podcasts about NijiCon, and I remember him saying that it didn't matter that the character was gay. He just wanted to tell the best story possible. And I didn't quite understand what he meant by that until I read the book, and I was like, I don't care that this character is gay. Like, it has nothing to do with how well written this book is. Like, it is extremely well written. You get into it immediately. There's like suspense, there's murder, and you're like, you're hooked from the very beginning. And yeah, sure, the character is gay, but he just as easily could have been straight, so it doesn't matter that he's gay or not. It's basically, he gets a client in the very beginning of the book, and the client is asking for help, and she's trying to, like, you know, be as provocative as possible, and he doesn't care. And so it's pretty funny. And then she's pretty obvious in the way that she dresses. Well, the reason that's important is because later someone dies and something is found at the scene that's obviously hers. And so now it's like, oh, who is that client from the very beginning? How does she fit into everything? And it's a book that I think anyone can get behind. So, yeah, do you not have to be backwater racist to read this? Of course, you can't do that. But but if you're not a backwater racist, I'm a homophobe, then you should be fine. Which, by the way, is my new phrase I heard recently. There's no such phrase as homophobia. That's not such a thing. I do believe there is such a thing, which is what someone brought up. It's called I'm a homophobe, which is really, you're just afraid that you're gay, which is why you're doing the things that you're doing. Anyways, that's a side story for another day. But Dash number one, Dash number two, I think is coming out this month, supposedly. And it's worth reading. And it's not like gratuitous gay stuff. Like, that's, you know, gay things happen because he's a gay man, so therefore it should happen. But beyond that, it's just a very well-written book. Like, you want number two because you're just as hooked. You're very hooked about this book. So, yeah that's it.
Dave was a really cool guy at the con.
Yeah, Dave was a really cool guy. He's also director of plays, so he knows how to write, you know, and you can see it in this comic. So he knows how to write, and it comes through beautifully. I really like the way it's written.
So it's like an independent release. Mm-hmm. How do you go about getting it?
You can
get it.
You could just talk to your comic book store and ask them to order Dash number one.
Yeah, it's through Diamond.
Oh, okay.
You can get it through Diamond.
Diamond has it.
Northwest Press.
Mm-hmm.
Which they have had stuff in Diamond for years. So.
Yeah. And if you have other questions, go back to our NijiCon interview and you can hear everything about the person who wrote the book.
And the guy in charge of Northwest Press.
And the guy in charge of Northwest Press. That's correct.
Sweet.
Go, Luke, go!
All right. So I just have one.
Okay.
It's Punisher number 12.
Okay.
Mm.
So I was real close to canceling this book,
mm-hmm.
especially after the first, like, maybe five issues. I was just like, this is lame. It's just kind of like stock Punisher fights gang stuff without any real, you know, without any real hook to make you care. Then it got better. The second story arc was, like, kind of cool. Punisher went down to, like, South America. There's a really cool issue where Crossbones and a bunch of thugs are, like, chasing him and, like, some army guys he found, like, up a mountain. And they're doing all these cool tactics, and it keeps the suspense up. You know, they're coming after him. They keep using, like, guerrilla tactics and stuff to get away from him. So I was cool. I kept on with it. Now I feel like it's back on the downswing. He goes back to fight the gang that he was fighting before.
And where is this at? What setting?
He's back in L.A.
So maybe he just needs to stay in South America.
Yeah, I thought it was cool more to have him, like, I don't know, I guess on the road, on tour.
Out of his element.
So he's like, he started the thing off in L.A., then he went away, now he's back in L.A. The same gang's back. They have a different, you know, generic Spanish gang leader. Mm-hmm. And they keep making hints that something's bigger behind this because the gang keeps doing all these terrorist acts, but it's just hard to care. It's... I don't know. I'm thinking I'll give it a couple more issues again, and then if it doesn't get better, I'll probably can it. The dialogue and the writing really could be better. Mm-hmm. It's very... It's almost like a cliche of the Punisher.
Do you get bored of the Punisher if all he does is fight gangs? Like, do you want him to interact with heroes and villains? And
I don't care if he interacts with any superheroes or supervillains. Like, he can totally have his own, you know, his own world. Like, if he never sees Captain America, great. that's a...
Even though he loves Captain America, but...
Yeah. But as long as the story's compelling and the character's done right... And I feel like this is just on the cusp of not. Like, it spiked. It was really cool. Like, the Crossbones issue. That could have been any, like, badass guy that they introduced. I wasn't like, oh, it's Crossbones. Fuck.
Right.
You know, and there's another one where he interacts with the Black Widow. But, which is okay. You know, it's a good issue. But, yeah, it doesn't have to be. It could be anyone, but it's... Once it lapses into, like, you know, generic gang fights, you know, it's got to be, it's either got to be, like, ultimately badass or just a really good story.
Right.
And this is kind of, right now, this current run is not really either. So it held me for a little bit, but issue 12, it's building up, so maybe issue 13 is going to be another big showdown with this gang, but...
Sure.
You know, we'll see what happens, but, you
what
know.
Was your favorite part of issue number 12? If you had to pick out one thing, they're like, all right, you know, actually, that was that all caught right. my attention for just
okay,
a little
I'll show
bit.
You guys. The last panel.
That's pretty awesome.
The last panel is awesome, I'll say that. He's holed up in a building, and like I said, he's waiting for this final showdown, and he just somehow rigs up the building so that all the power goes out except for lights in the room that make a huge Punisher logo on the side of the building.
That's kind of badass.
Cool. Yeah,
it's awesome. Really badass. You know, so it's like, and that's why I'm still on it. It's because there's moments. It's still got moments,
especially right at the end.
Yeah. So you're like, all right, I'm obviously going to get the next one, but it's just I don't really.
Was it worth it? Is the question to go wait for that last panel?
Yeah, I don't know. I just there's not a whole lot of characters I care about.
Yeah.
So, like one way or the other, because part of Punisher writing is like you. There's a bad guy, you want to hate that guy, you know, because you have to have someone more evil than, like, the Punisher. Let's be honest, the Punisher's not really a good guy. He's kind of a terrible criminal. Mm-hmm. You want the guys he's taken out. You want to, like, feel some kind of way about them.
Yeah,
but if they're just like, we are a gang, like, okay, we
are,
all right.
Yeah. You are a gang. Good for you.
Yeah, right. Like, so
Nathan Edmondson's the writer on that book. And I feel like he is going to write something amazing one of these days. Telling you,
They gave him another new book. What did they just give him? Deathlock, yeah.
And I read that issue, that first issue, and I thought it was really good, actually.
Okay.
So maybe that's the book. Who knows?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I think he has potential, but he's not there yet, at least from the stuff that I've read. So,
gotcha. All
right. C+.
C+. Oof.
All right, Tim.
All right, my last book. Is an Image book, at least I think it was an Image book. It's called The Humans. And it's about a motorcycle gang that does a lot of drugs, listens to a lot of music, and fights other motorcycle gangs.
Okay.
I like it.
And it's a very typical, boring motorcycle gang story.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
However, there's a hook that makes it so much more interesting. Besides, the art is good. The art is really good. The humans are all monkeys. It's a story about monkeys that are a motorcycle gang. And they fight other motorcycle gangs that are also monkeys. And honestly, the story isn't that amazing. But just the fact that they're monkeys is really awesome.
God, who was high in the hotel room and came up with this idea?
Yeah.
But the book is really good. I don't know what it is about it. It's not like... It didn't blow me away with its originality.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just because it's the first issue. It's setting up like, hey, these guys are your typical kind of bikers that are portrayed in movies anyways. Because I don't think bikers are scumbags or anything. But like in TV shows and things, they're always like scumbag, drug-dealing bikers. You know, so it's like, hey, this is monkey version of Sons of Anarchy. Sweet. Is essentially what it is. And I'm like, is that monkey getting a blowjob? That monkey was getting a blowjob.
By like another monkey?
Yeah.
Or, like,
yeah.
So everyone in the world's a monkey?
I'm assuming.
Okay.
It hasn't been made clear, but everyone you've been introduced to is a monkey.
Okay.
And
different types of monkeys or one type of monkey?
There's a few, but like there's not big drastic differences in the art to really make you think one way or the other about them.
All right.
So it's a very strange book, but it's like, we're going to say whatever the fuck we want. And like, it's just... We're
monkeys.
We're monkeys, whatever, fuck it.
The Rhesuses versus the Chimps.
Yeah, it was the... What was the other name of the gang? The rival gang. They had a funny name. But they're called the Humans. That's the name of their gang.
That's a pretty cool name.
Yeah, so...
The Monkeys.
It's a pretty weird book. I have to read the next issue to really get a feel for it, but... It was just one of those random things. I'm like, what the fuck is that? I'm like, there's a monkey getting a blowjob. That's hilarious. I'm going to read this.
That's pretty cool.
So that's my book. I liked it. It was fun. Hopefully it stays good.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess I'll go with my final one.
Do it.
Fantasy Killer.
Fantasy Killer.
Number 1 of 4, written by Kevin Hawk. Mm-hmm. So actually, there was an independent writer, I guess, at the Allentown...
Which we're probably not going to talk about.
...that we don't have time to talk about. and he was trying to promote his book, and it's called Fantasy Killer, and actually, I thought it was really good. I don't know, have you had a chance to read your copy?
I did not read it yet,
no. So what it basically is that this guy who used to be like a rock star, and now he works at like, it's called Einstein Squad, which is similar to like the Best Buy's Geek Squad, is how you can think about it. And so he's like, oh, I used to be famous and all that good stuff, and now I'm just a guy working on Einstein Squad. And it's one of those things where, like, it's a basic, like, he's an everyday average person. And he gets screwed over all the time, he gets stepped on. You know, this girl calls out sick, so he has to stay, like, an extra, like, 3 or 4 hours in his shift. Well, it turns out that she was just going on a date with the boss, and so... He goes to a movie and sees them together. And he's like, what the hell? I work 4 extra hours just so you guys can go screw around. So he has, like, these thoughts of killing them. He's like, well, how can I kill them? And, you know, he's like, what am I thinking? Well, then he kills them. But then he wakes up. So you don't know if he actually killed them or if it was just a dream. But the whole point here is that there's this guy. It opens up with him actually killing someone. Or someone dead. And he's like, oh my God, I really killed this person. It wasn't just a fantasy. I actually killed this person. So you just don't know whether he's been dreaming and killing people or he's actually been plotting it out and killing people. You don't quite know yet. But it is well written. He like stabs somebody with a pen in their throat and like makes them car crash and blow up. And it's a really good book. It's about everyday Joe who's had enough and is ready to go kill people. So, all
right.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. If I can find out, I guess there's some places to go pick it up. I don't know. He's an independent person, so I don't really know how you get his comics.
I believe he said if you find him on Facebook, through his Facebook, there's information to get the next issues as they come out.
Okay, so look up Fantasy Killer by Kevin Hawk. There's also someone called Lee Jeffrey on there, but I assume Kevin Hawk is the major person since his first name is on there.
That's rough, man. They always put the writers first. You just
and that's the person who signed it.
Dissing the artists like that.
Yeah, the person who signed this book was Kevin Hawk. So, yeah, I'll take a look on their Facebook and see if I can find it, and at least look at issue number 2 and see where it goes. It's only 4 issues. I mean, what's it going to hurt to keep up with it, you know, and see what comes of it. So
just the wallet, just... like it always does.
So, but yeah, it's a pretty cool concept. Thinking about all the different ways that you can kill someone. All right.
All right. That's dark. That's how you end it.
That is how you end it, sir. Business.
Right. Well, anything else, gentlemen, before we wrap this up?
I have a fun thing.
Sure.
I never read Marvel 1602.
I never did either.
I have not read it yet. So
I never did either.
Last night I was sitting in a chair in my house, and someone on Facebook was like, I did a thing where to describe my love life, I picked up the closest book and we'll go to page 206. And the first thing that you read on page 206 of the closest book to you is describe your love life. And I'm like, that's stupid. But I couldn't help but say, what is the closest book next to me if I was going to do this dumb shit? So I looked around and I didn't want to get out of the chair. So I'm just like, there's like a little shelf next to the chair. And I live like with a bunch of people, so there's stuff everywhere. I'm like, someone has to have a book around here.
Yeah.
So I pulled up under a game of Moncala. There is a hardback copy of Marvel 1602 with literally like a quarter of an inch of dust on it. Like, no, it must have been sitting there for years. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I've never read this before. And I picked up this, like, musty old tome. And then I, like, had an allergy attack because I'm allergic to dust. Yeah, so I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh. And then, so then I'm like, oh, I got a tissue or whatever. And I wiped it all off. And I was like, 1602, fucking A. Uh-huh. So I started reading that last night, and it's good.
Wait, you didn't turn to page 206 or whatever?
There was not enough pages. Even in the
do you just start over and keep adding them until you get to 206?
No, you just like you loop around.
Yeah.
No, I didn't care anymore. I found
I found a book.
Yeah, I found like a good ass book that I hadn't read next to me in arm's reach that had been there the entire time I've lived in the house and long before. That's and didn't know. So I forgot about whatever Facebook thing that was and started reading 1602.
No, there you
it's probably a better choice.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Well played.
So that's cool. That was literally the most exciting thing that happened to me all week.
Oh.
Damn.
Okay. Explains a lot.
Ouch.
Damn. Jesus Christ, Leander.
Damn.
We couldn't just sign off like normal. Yeah. We gotta fucking stab
Leander, a fantasy killer. I'm just
Leander smacked me like I was the edge of a table during a podcast.
Damn.
Oh, that's great.
It is. We're ending there. Bye, people.
See ya.
This, the 4th of July. No one told me.
Leave him alone.
What's she gonna do? Hit me with her diaper?
I'll show you, you overgrown trash!